San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio. Good evening. Welcome to It's Your Money and Your Life. I am your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from KFMB with 50,000 watts of power, heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, out down to Cabo, out to the desert, Riverside, all over Southern California. You can hear us with the 760 KFMB app if you've got a smartphone or a computer, and also say 760kfmb.com if you want to stream live or hear the podcast later, or on our website, iymoney.com. Anyway, time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's an accomplished marathon runner. He's a best-selling author. He's a family office expert advising several high-net-worth families. All-around good guy, and his name is Richard Muzio. Richard, how are you tonight?
I'm marvelous, Joe. I've got to get to bed early tonight because I'm running the Carlsbad 5,000 tomorrow.
Oh my gosh.
I go out at 7 a.m. with all the old guys.
5,000 as in 5,000 what?
You know, it's a 5K.
5K.
Yeah. So, you know, 3.1 mile.
Wow.
Just a little sprint.
That's an elite race, isn't it? There's a lot
it
of
is
top,
an elite race.
Top runners from all over the country come to that, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So who are the big favorites?
I don't even know who's running this year.
Okay. But I mean, I know that's...
I know I'm not.
That's a big deal. I got to apologize. I was a little amped up last week after the big Aztec win. So I was listening to the show over again, and I was, you know, just a little bit too antsy, I thought. But a little more subdued this week. They did play, a great season. They played a great game against Arizona. They just, I guess they...
They just can't shoot.
Well, do you think that was a goaltending call at the end there? I thought we got robbed, but, you know, it happens.
Not like Tennessee got robbed.
Yeah. Yeah, some of these calls are really dubious. I you know, in the last minute, the ref should really be absolutely sure that of the calls, I would think. But it works both ways, right? It works for you and against you sometimes, right?
That's what they say.
Yeah. Who do you like in this thing?
I picked Florida to win it all, but I'm not doing that well in my pool.
Well, nobody is. No one's winning the billion, are they?
Nobody's winning the billion. How could they?
They were wiped out, I think, after the second round.
You didn't pick that Dayton Stanford matchup, Joe?
What was that team from Hawaii 1 year?
Hawaii Hilo Chaminade.
Beat
University of Virginia with Ralph Sampson. That wasn't in the tournament, though. That was in the preseason.
I know, but who even heard of I don't even know what a Chaminade is. But anyway, good luck to them. So, but anyway, Aztecs rebuilding year. They should have a pretty good year next year, right?
Great recruiting class.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully they got some guys who can shoot.
Yeah. Hey, some exciting news regarding the world of tennis in San Diego. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, World Team Tennis, our good friends, Rosie Cruz and Billie Jean King with the World Team Tennis. They facilitated a sale of the New York franchise to Russell Geiser here in San Diego. So we've got World Team Tennis coming to town in July. The Bryan brothers are going to be the doubles team.
Right. In the, is it the Valley View Casino Sports Arena?
It's the Sports Arena, Joe.
A Sports Arena. Okay, yeah. We'll just call it the Sports Arena.
Everybody thinks of, you know, gaming casinos when you say Valley View.
Yeah, but anyway.
That's the name, yeah, but it's the old Sports Arena. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's that building, that beautiful building down at Sports
Arena. And if those guys are kind enough to be sponsors of the show, we'll talk about it.
Yes.
Because that would be fun to talk about for the next 3 months.
But anyway, the San Diego Chicken's going to be at the first match, I guess, July 7th, and Andy Roddick is going to be here, I guess, from one of the opposing teams, and so they've got Martina Hingis is in this league. They got, you know, a lot of cool players. So
it's fun because it's team tennis,
and of course we're going to have the best doubles, the men's doubles team in the whole league by the Bryan brothers, right?
Best men's doubles team in the history of tennis.
Yeah. And they want people to scream and yell and have fun, so it's not like U.S. Open or Wimbledon, right?
Yeah, or a Padre game.
Yeah. Well, let's hope the Padres. Hey, the season opens tomorrow. That's great.
We're in second place. We haven't even played yet.
Yeah. Is there a game tonight? Because
no, the Padres open tomorrow. There might be some games tonight. I don't know.
Yeah. So tomorrow night, and they play the Dodgers, right?
Yeah, and Kershaw hurt his back, so he's not pitching.
Yeah, that's a good thing. God, we got an important guest, though. Hey, the other night, I was watching Shark Tank on CNBC. And this gentleman, one of the, I don't know if you call him contestants, or one of the persons vying for some venture capital, enters, and he has a paddleboard company. And I go, well, heck, I see those on Mission Bay all the time. And anyway, he gets in there and he does really well. Winds up getting I won't steal his thunder, but it turns out the business is based in Pacific Beach right here. And so, with a little bit of Googling and luck, I got a hold of this gentleman, and he's the CEO and founder of Tower Paddle Boards. He lives in PB, Pacific Beach, and his company is based there. And his name is Stefan Arstall. So, Stefan, good evening. How are you tonight?
Good, Joe.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. Our pleasure. So, anyway, we always like to find out, you know, where our guests are born and raised, educated, and how they found their way to San Diego, and then we'll get into the rest of the stuff. So, in a nutshell, can you get into that for a little bit?
Sure, yeah. I was born above Seattle, a little town called Bellingham.
Ah.
And it rains all the time up there, of course, mm-hmm. in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
I moved to Hawaii after high school,
uh-huh.
you know, fell in love with good weather. But there was no economy. And then, I sort of searched the rest of the country for this, you know, perfect combination of weather and a good economy.
Uh-huh.
And so I landed here after college.
After college. So what did you do after college before you got into the paddleboard industry?
Well, actually how I ran across San Diego is I was trying to start a bus company for international travelers
mm-hmm.
going cross country.
Mm-hmm.
And San Diego was on that map, and it was the nicest place on that map. So the company didn't really take off, but I ended up back in San Diego, and I worked for a little company called Space Electronics
uh-huh.
here in San Diego for a while. Didn't really make any money. Moved back to Seattle. I was bartending at the time and making good money bartending, but it was, you know, there was no huge future in that.
Mm-hmm.
So I found my way back to San Diego to go to USD, actually, for uh-huh. graduate school.
Where Richard went. Okay.
And so that was in 98, and I've been here ever since.
Now, after 98, weren't you in a high-tech venture or something after college, though?
I came out of grad school in 99,
mm-hmm.
and it was sort of the height of the internet boom, and I worked for a company called AntMini.com, and it was a local company here.
Mm-hmm.
The CEO and the president were here. We had like a tech team in Tucson, some editors up in San Francisco, and it was a sort of a portal information and education for the radiologist community.
Mm-hmm.
And we took that from startup to dominant, you know, industry leader in about 3 or 4 years. And that's
wow.
really where I learned sort of internet marketing, internet
mm-hmm.
business models.
And then what inspired, and then did you go right from that to the paddleboard?
So were you a surfer to begin with?
No, not really. I mean, I've always surfed, you know, but I'm not a good surfer is what I would say.
But I
don't even do it very much.
Well, who is?
Yeah. But I was curious how you got the leap from high tech to,
sure.
to water sports.
So. Well, that startup company, we did really well. So we got acquired by Eastman Kodak at the time. And Eastman Kodak was in, you know, a nosedive. And I could tell why after they bought us. They bought us and then said, hey, we're going to manage this for cash flow.
Uh-huh.
And we were like a startup, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I was a startup guy and everybody there. So I said, enough of that. And I left after about, you know, probably 6 months. And I started a company selling high-end poker chips. And
poker chips.
Within 6 months, I was making more in a month than that, you know, than I was at my business. And so I quit my day job. And in, you know.
You mean physical poker chips you were selling?
High-end poker chips.
High-end poker chips.
What's a high-end poker chip look like compared to a regular poker chip? Because I'm curious.
So if you go to Las Vegas, like the casino chips they use on the tables.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So I went to their manufacturers and I made chips for consumers out of those. So
okay.
it was, you know, $500 to $1,500 for a set of poker chips.
Sure.
Wow.
It was a super, super niche product.
Right.
But, you know, worldwide. And within 6 months of starting that, I was making more in a month than I was in a year at my job.
Unbelievable.
It was a boom and a bust, though.
Okay.
So it boomed and sort of busted.
Well, long as you get out on time.
Yeah, I'm still actually in it, but it's you know, one-tenth of what it was at one time.
Yeah.
But I had a lot of free time. It took, you know, 10, 12 hours a week, and it was doing maybe $500,000 a year. And so I constantly was looking for other businesses.
And then
the paddleboards.
So how did you stumble upon the paddleboards, though, as saying this is it?
Just a friend of mine took me out paddleboarding, you know, one morning.
Ah.
And I sort of said, wow, this is pretty cool. I should go get a paddleboard. And then I'm always being an entrepreneur. I was like, maybe I should sell these. So I looked online and it was a booming, booming industry.
Mm.
And nobody was doing it in a tech way like I was doing with the poker chips. So I basically applied the exact same model to this. 2010, started that. We did, you know, 3,000 the first year.
3,000 units or $3,000?
$3,000.
Oh, my God. It's a handful of units.
Exactly. And so then in 2011, I made my first hire, and I told her, like, you know, I'm going to hire you, but in 6 months, you probably won't have a job. Because unless you can pay for yourself.
Tell you may have to cash in your chips.
And a month after hiring her, you know, Shark Tank called us out of the blue. I'd never even heard of Shark Tank. And they said, would you like to be on this TV show? We want a paddleboard
company.
Whoa,
that's cool. They found you. Interesting.
And the reason they found us is, I mean, my expertise is sort of getting up in the search engines. Mm-hmm. So if you Googled anything about paddleboarding, you know, we were at the top. We looked like this leading company.
Huh.
We had $35,000 in revenues at the time that they called us.
You know, the Iacocca says, fake it till you make it, right? So
exactly. So, and they wanted a startup anyway. So I went on there, you know, a month later, we ended up getting Cuban to invest.
Yeah.
We went on that year to do.
Well, I saw that. Now, folks have to know Mark Cuban was one of the four. He was the only one of the four that dove in with you, right? And
he was.
He liked it.
When I went on the show, I actually stumbled pretty bad. I forgot my pitch. I'm actually known as the guy in Shark Tank that went in there and after a minute, completely screwed up my pitch. My slides were off. And I was just silent for like minutes.
Yeah.
And then like stuttering and trying to start again. And then they started tearing into me in real time. It was probably 4 minutes of this. And, you know, when they film the show, it's probably, I was in there for an hour and then they edit that down. So you're seeing kind of like a sports highlight film of what actually happened.
Yeah.
And so like three of them went out and, Barbara Corcoran, who's, who was the only lady on the show at the time, she just hated me. I don't know why. called me a nerd. She called me a leprechaun.
Oh, the heck with them. But anyway, let's hold that suspense right there. We'll take a break. We'll come right back with more It's Your Money, Your Life right after this.
60. Now, it's your money and your life on AM 760 KFMB.
All right, the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life. We're back with CEO of Tower Paddleboards in beautiful Pacific Beach, Stefan Arstall. So we left off. You were on Shark Tank. Completely blew the pitch and whatever, and just shows you if you're persistent and have a good idea and a good product, good things happen. So tell us what happened. The one gal's calling you names, and then what happened?
Yeah, it's not how you start, it's how you finish, right?
So exactly.
Three of them went out right away, and I went in there asking for $150,000 for 10% of my company.
Uh-huh.
And I thought I was giving away a chunk. I mean, I was just like, this is just to be on the show. I'll give them a chunk, whatever. But then after three of them had gone out, I'd sort of made an idiot of myself. I was sort of feeling the pressure. And then Mr. Wonderful, he offered me $150,000 for 50% of this business and anything I do in the future.
Oh my God.
For the rest of my life.
He is wonderful.
And I said, so and anything I do in my life, you own 50%.
And your firstborn male.
So I turned that down. And then Cuban, which who had been kind of quiet the whole time, he came back and he said, well, you know, I only want 30%, so I'll take 30% for the $150,000, and then I want first right of refusal on any business you do in the future. And I'm like, well, so what does that mean? And he's like, well, if you go out and raise money, you know, I get the right to trump that. I get to take that investment.
Because why? Because he liked the product, right?
I mean, none of them really liked the product. They liked sort of me, the fact that I could do this with any company. Like I did it with the poker chips. I helped my brother's company a little bit. And the paddle boards. And I said, look, you guys have all these companies. You can, you know, basically inject my knowledge on sort of internet marketing and stuff. And that should be a huge benefit. So I sort of pivoted in the middle of this thing to try and get some kind of a deal.
Mm. So Mark, right away, he being a high-tech guy and a former bartender.
The close tie in there.
He glommed on right away. So, but that's great. So has he offered any, now this, when did this occur? When was the taping?
So the taping was in like the summer of 2011. So he offered to invest. That investment didn't close until November of that year. And then the show didn't air until the following March. So there's like 9 month period here where I know, you know, that I've got a deal from Mark Cuban and I can't tell anybody, my family, my friends, people in the company knew.
Oh my gosh.
So that was rough. But the, I mean, and we got a lot of press around this and we really leveraged that. I mean, when ABC called me to be on this show, my first thought was, wow, I can get a link from abc.com to my website. That was my thinking because I knew how powerful that would be, the media, right?
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking, you know, get Mark Cuban or some, you know, an investment.
And the lucky thing is that was his first guest appearance on that show, right?
Well, that season he was a guest. He was a guest shark, so he wasn't on every episode. And the way the show works, you go up to L.A., and I was up in L.A. for 4 days, sort of sequestered in a hotel.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, 2 days into that, I still didn't even know who the sharks were going to be on my episode.
Oh, my gosh.
And I found out Cuban was, and instantly I'm really That's a no-brainer.
Well, I mean, Stefan, you are a lucky guy.
So Stefan, is Mr. Cuban happy with his investment?
Yeah, he's very happy. So we're one of his best investments from the show. Okay. So sort of the revenue track there. In 2010, we had 3,000 in sales.
Right.
2011, we did 260,000. Cuban came on at the end of that year. In 2012, we did 1.7 million. Last year, we did 3.1 million.
Wow.
And this year, we're on track to do about 5 million.
Wow.
And we're ahead of pace right now.
Nice stuff.
Cha-ching.
And you brought a couple boards in for me and Joe, right?
Yeah, no.
No?
He
what?
Actually got a couple boards for his kids, and he insisted he pay for them.
Really?
So what a
give
class
nothing
guy. Away.
Well, Joe was going to pay for mine.
Yeah. What a class act. Now, your website's towerpaddleboards.com. And the other good news, tell folks how this has blown up. I mean, you're all over the U.S., but where else? It's being sold in Canada and Europe and other places, right?
Yeah, we sell worldwide. We started in these sort of hard boards. It's like a hard surfboard, you know, and they're huge, you know, 10 to 12 feet long, so you got to freight them.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Cuban's money, we went into inflatable paddle boards.
Oh, really? Wow.
Which are, you know, that opens up the market a lot because anybody in a, you know, that doesn't have a, you know, surf racks on their car or they live in an apartment, they don't have a huge garage for this thing.
Yeah.
So we're selling those worldwide. And now we've sort of layered on top of this e-commerce company, we've layered a factory on. So we just built out about a 5,000 square foot factory out in Miramar here.
Very cool.
We're making boards in the U.S. where, you know, 98% of this industry is overseas.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually able to bring production back, you know, to the U.S.
Isn't that cool? TowerPaddleboards.com. And the showroom is where? If people want to come down and check them out or see them.
It's down in PB. It's our, sort of our offices and showroom. It's not a really a retail location, but people come by and buy stuff all the time.
Yeah.
It's kind of right behind Yogurtland.
Behind Yogurtland, by if you know where a PB bar and grill is, it's right across the
845
street.
845 Garnett Avenue.
There you go, 845.
So do you have plans for additional businesses or something new coming up? Or is this what you're going to be doing for a while?
Well, you know, I have some other business plans I'd like to do, but I have Cuban potentially as an investor because when he invested, he also negotiated for first right of refusal to invest in anything I do in the future.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, but I haven't pitched him those yet because I want to make him a lot of money in this. And then we'll you know, go out into something else. But I think focus is key right now.
How about training dogs to ride these things? I see them on PB all the time. People think there's dogs on these things, Richard, and paddling across.
Yeah, well, mine is in my garage right now. It's 10 feet 6 inches. I live right across the street from the beach, so I don't have to go far to get it out in the water.
Have you taken your dog paddleboarding?
I do not put my dogs on my paddle, Joe. No.
Have you done any yoga on it, Richard?
No. No, I just typically just fall off into the ocean on it.
Swimming.
Well, it's better to do it on the bay, isn't it, Stefan, rather than the ocean?
Well, it's a lot more fun in the waves.
Is it?
It's more fun in the waves. But the problem with the waves, Joe, is if there's good waves, all the surfers don't like to stand up paddle guys. So you got to go out when it's flat on the ocean.
I was on the board. I did see a guy on a paddle board with the oar standing up on this thing. You can surf the wave with these, I mean, if you're good, right?
That's really where the industry started. And that's what a lot of our competition thought the industry was, is like an evolution of surfing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was not really, I didn't come from the surf industry. So I looked at this like anywhere there's water, you can do this. Lakes, rivers.
Yeah.
And that is really, you know, 90% of the growth.
Yeah.
So there's water everywhere in the world. Everywhere people live, there's water.
Now, are you marketing this to any fitness people at all, like CrossFit? Because it is good exercise. I mean, you balance and
I mean, that's a big reason why women get into paddleboarding is for the fitness. When you're standing up on this thing, it's working out your legs and sort of your butt. And then as you paddle, it engages your core and your upper arms.
Yeah.
It's like a full body workout. I mean, you see how good a shape Richard is in here.
Yeah.
He's probably doing a lot of paddleboarding.
Well, he's a runner too.
Well, it's a much better workout than surfing, Joe.
But I'll
tell you,
because
of the core aspect.
Well, you know, when you start getting into the cosmetic benefits of these things, you know, it is women are going to pick and guys too. I mean, you're outside having fun, and rather than being in a gym, what's better than that? Scenic setting and getting an exercise and a workout. So
plus, you get to see dolphins, which you don't see in the gym. At least I've never seen any dolphins in my gym.
How cool. How cool. So you went to USD, you got your business degree at USD, is that what you got?
Yep, my graduate
degree.
There
you go, you go. That's outstanding. So
what's your average retail price? I mean, what are you selling for? I'm just curious.
I mean, that was sort of our market, is we sell paddleboards for about half price because we're direct. So we don't have the distribution channel that all the other players are. So we sell them hardboards for about $700 to about $850, and the inflatables are about 100 or 200 cheaper.
Yeah, I know, inflatables are less. Yeah,
and then how many employees and how many retail locations all over the...
Well, we don't have any retail locations, so we're direct. So employees, I have five employees now, and two of them are in the factory, and we've just built that out. We're just starting to make boards, And actually, we did a partnership with another company here in San Diego where they're making some boards that are basically indestructible paddle boards.
I see. Mm-hmm. But you have SUP crews, stand-up paddle boards, crews, and rentals all over the country. So that's a different thing, huh?
Well, we tell people where they can go to rent a paddle board. Mm-hmm. I mean, a big part of our business is information on paddle boarding. We kind of bring people into our website with a library of information on, you know, places they can enjoy paddleboarding. But we do have these SUP crews. That's kind of like our brand ambassadors.
Yeah.
Those are people around the country who have a board and they've, you know, expressed an openness to us to, you know, share this with other people in their community to get little crews together. So we put them on a map. And then if anybody in their area, you know, wants to, you know, have a friend to go out with paddleboarding, so they get these little clubs together.
Gotcha.
That's something we facilitate.
Anyway, Stefan, we have to wrap it right there. So great they have a local business and a local guy make good here. So congratulations and much more success to you.
That's neat stuff, Stefan. Thank you very much.
So towerpaddleboards.com, and we'll take a break. News, sports, weather, and our county DA candidate, Bob Brewer, right after this. Hang on.
Now, it's your money and your life on AM 760 KFMB.
We're back with the second half of History Money Your Life, and now over to Richard to thank our sponsors.
Thank you to our sponsors, UBS, Michael Caronta, and Drew Fetus. Very much appreciate it. Right across the street from UBS in lovely downtown La Jolla, San Diego's best business bank, Regions Bank, with Steve Sefton and Sean Puckett. Joel Grushkin and Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. Jason Kruger with Signature Analytics, helping business owners who need CFOs but don't want full-time CFOs to get that kind of expert resource in-house on a part-time basis to help their business make more money. Speaking of making more money, our favorite CPAs on the planet, Paul Polito and Don Epic, CPAs up in Vista, and they're not going to give up their day job based on their results in the basketball pool, so they're going to be CPAs for a long, long time. nor am I going to give up my day job for my basketball pool based on my even worse results. Mr. Carl Sheeler with Berkeley Research Group, helping business owners understand the risk metrics that drive the value of their business and ways to help improve the value of their business. Brenda Geiger, attorney, Brenda Geiger with the Geiger Law Offices, specializing in estate planning and asset protection. And last but not least, the Lombardi Group and the LG Experience. Lombardi Group helps wealth advisors and CPAs become real heroes to their very best clients, what we call their A clients, by helping CPAs bring much, much better value to their very best clients. So, Joe, we couldn't do this without our great sponsors. How can our listeners find out more about them?
Yes, we thank them absolutely. And if folks just get on the website, our website, iymoney.com, and put your cursor over sponsors, the sponsors tab at top, and there's a drop-down menu. All their information is there, telephones and emails, not about cell phones, and their bios. And, of course, they've been working with Richard and collaborating.
In some cases for almost 30 years.
Yes. And always,
I don't want to admit that.
And always with great results. And we like to have him on the show from time to time, and so you get to hear from the horse's mouth. And I think we're going to have Paul Polito coming up.
Paul's coming up, I think, in May.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. Always brilliant to have those guys on. We appreciate all their support. Although we do a good job, we have 3 first place press club awards to show for it. So it's a nice win-win. Wouldn't you say?
Anyway, I've just admitted in public that I'm doing something illegal. I'm running a basketball pool, and we have a candidate for district attorney sitting right here in the room.
Yes, we do.
But he hasn't been appointed yet or elected yet.
Right.
So I don't have to worry about anything.
Well, let's bring him on. He's a district attorney candidate. His name is Robert Brewer. We can call him Bob. We can call you Bob, right, Bob?
Absolutely.
Okay. Anyway, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's so nice to have you here. So why don't you tell us a little bit about born and raised and educated, and then we'll get into the whole election scheme of things.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate being here. I was born in Hartford, Connecticut, raised in Ithaca, New York. Went to St. Lawrence University, farther upstate New York, mm-hmm. graduated in 1968, was commissioned a second lieutenant in the United States Army Infantry Branch, went to Fort Benning, Georgia, went through airborne school, ranger school, then went to Germany, was a company commander for a year, and then went to Vietnam for 13 months. I was with the Vietnamese Airborne Division as an advisor and with an organization called MAC-SOG. Came back, did another year at Fort Leonard Wood, and then came to San Diego, for law school. Mm. Was in law school from 72 to 75 at the University of San Diego.
See, we only bring on USD people here, Joe.
Go Toreros.
This exactly. is USD night here. This That's is right. great.
Graduated in 75 and then went up to Los Angeles, was a deputy district attorney for 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. Then went across the street, was an assistant U.S. attorney for 4.5 years. Mm. Came back to San Diego in 1982. Been here ever since, practicing law. been a lawyer for 39 years.
Outstanding. Now, when you were in L.A., we were talking at the break about having an appearance on 60 Minutes of Mike Wallace. So would you like to tell us a little bit about that? That sounded pretty cool.
It was. The last case I tried as an assistant U.S. attorney, I tried an espionage case against an individual by the name of Marion Zaharsky. And Marion Zaharsky was a deeply embedded KGB spy who was able to finesse from a scientist at Hughes Aircraft Company the precursor secrets to the stealth bomber. Huh. At that time, it was called the Quiet Radar. We were able to arrest Mr. Bell, who was the scientist, and he pled guilty and testified against Mr. Zaharsky. The trial lasted 5 weeks. And after the trial, we were told that 60 Minutes wanted to do a show on it. And I was interviewed for 3 hours with Mike Wallace, which I would not recommend.
3 minutes is rough. Did he come up to your office to do the interview?
He did. He did.
Wow, very cool.
And it's on my website, the entire episode.
Well, I'm going to check that out. So yes. So I take it Marion is a male.
Marion Zaharsky, yes. And he was sentenced to life in prison.
Whoa.
And 3 years later, we traded him for 23 of our spies.
Oh, wow.
Huh. So they really wanted him back.
Right.
Wow.
And he went back to a hero's welcome, and we got 23 of our people.
Well, I like those odds there, Richard.
23 for one. you don't see that kind of trade in baseball. But anyway.
They really wanted him back.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Well, we must have wanted some of our guys back, too. I guess
That's right.
Look, spying goes on out there in these days. And with all the high-tech things, going on in the world.
Well, this happened in 81. And in 81, of course, we were in the Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
So espionage was a very critical situation.
Now we just got a little chill. It's not real cold, but
not like it was. But Bob, let's talk about what you're doing. You're actually running for district attorney,
correct?
Which normally there's not two people running for that position.
Yeah. What made you decide to run?
Well, many reasons. One, I think it's definitely time for a change at the district attorney at the leadership of that office. Number two. A love of public service. I started my career in public service, both in the Army and then as a prosecutor for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
My wife has been a judge for 29 years and was an assistant U.S. attorney before that. So we have public service in our family, and I very much would like to end my career in public service. And I think I'm uniquely qualified for the job.
I see you have Vince Bartolotta endorsing you, right?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, nice guy. Know him well.
Great guy.
He's a legendary in the field of law in this town here, like as is Brian Monahan, who was on the show earlier.
He's also endorsing me.
Really? That's terrific.
Yes.
That's terrific.
Brian was on late last year.
Yeah, we had him on in December.
Yeah.
So you and Bonnie are both Republicans. Is anybody else running in this thing? Or?
No. I'm not a Republican.
Oh, you're not?
I am DTS.
Okay.
Decline to state.
Oh, okay.
It's a nonpartisan office.
Oh, okay.
And I believe it should be held by a nonpartisan person.
Okay.
And there is one other person running. There are a total of three of us, a retired deputy district attorney by the name of Terry Wyatt.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't even know about that.
Yes.
But anyway, time for a change. So what's been going wrong in the DA's office that requires a change? What's the beef?
The slogan of my campaign, which really says it all, is public safety without politics.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that the present district attorney made a very large error in judgment when 70 days after she was sworn in to her third term, she announced she was running for mayor. And that was 70 days after she took an oath to be the district attorney. And then she spent the next 17 months running for mayor as the sitting district attorney. And that creates layers of conflicts of interest, because one of the most important responsibilities of the district attorney is public integrity, public corruption, to make sure the politicians are doing their job. And she became a politician when she ran for mayor and spent a significant amount of time doing that. And there are collateral consequences to that, and we're seeing that today.
Yeah. Did any cases get neglected or go sideways as a result of her not being focused because of the campaigning?
Well, I can't cite specific cases because the line deputy district attorneys are very, very dedicated people. But I can point to one area where I think she should have spent a lot more time instead of running for mayor, and that's when AB 109, which is the realignment law, that was introduced in February of 2011. She announced she was running in March of 2011. And then that was argued and debated up in Sacramento for the next 7 months. And during that entire time, when one of the largest pieces of legislation in California history AB 109, as if you're familiar with it, the realignment, putting 30,000 prisoners from the state prisons back into the county jail system.
Yeah.
Well, when that was being debated, that's where the DA should have been, is arguing for against that and for more training and more money and spending much more focused time on what I consider to be a piece of legislation that severely impacted public safety.
I mean, prisons are overcrowded. Didn't they release a bunch of prisoners recently because of just of the overcrowding issue alone?
Well, 30,000 prisoners were realigned back into the county jail system.
Mm.
And it's caused a significant problems. And I believe, as a district attorney, when that type of legislation is being debated, you've got to be up in Sacramento. You've got to be arguing against it. You've got to be asking for more money. You've got to be asking for delays. You have to be training the police, the probation officers, getting ready for that type of legislation. And instead, she was running for mayor.
Yeah. Gotcha. Anyway, let's take a little break right now. We'll come right back with more of It's Your Money Life with County DA candidate Bob Brewer right after this.
Here's a good one.
If we had a real president.
It's Your Money and Your Life on AM 760 KFMB.
All right, we're back with the Fresno County DA candidate, Robert Brewer. And where'd we leave off, Richard? We wanted to find out why 21 of 22 law enforcement agencies.
Yeah, well, I was invited to an event that Mr. Brewer hosted, and I was just doing some research, and I noticed that virtually every, I think there's 21 or 22 separate and distinct law enforcement agencies. A lot of which I had never heard of, and virtually everyone is endorsing Mr. Brewer. And I thought that was really interesting because I've got a couple of friends who are deputy DAs, and sometimes they sort of cry on my shoulder and say they don't feel supported as maybe as much as they could be. So I just find it really interesting that you've gotten such great feedback from law enforcement. What's behind all of that, Bob?
Well, I started talking to law enforcement early in the decision-making process to run for district attorney, and I found out that in 2006, when Ms. Dumanis was running for her second term, all 22 police agencies that you just mentioned all unanimously endorsed her. And then if you go 4 years to 2010, all 22 agencies unanimously refused to endorse her, even though she was running against no one.
And what caused that turnaround, do you
think? Well, one of the things that in speaking with the police and why they have endorsed me is because of that first, the second part of my slogan, without politics. They clearly understand the district attorney's responsibility on public integrity. And when you become political, they know and they understand you're not going to be able to prosecute your friends. And when you start endorsing a bunch of people as a district attorney, and when I say without politics, when I am the district attorney, I will endorse no one at any time for anything. And because she ran for mayor and because she endorsed Mr. DeMaio, the entire office was disqualified from investigating Mr. Filner. That's the example of why you have layers of conflicts and you shouldn't run for another office if you're the district attorney. But getting back to the police and your question, Richard, in sitting down with the police and listening to them, they wanted a dedicated, committed prosecutor. And one of the questions they all asked me was, are you going to run for another office? And they were very upset when Ms. Dumanis ran for mayor, and they sensed it was going to happen in 2010, and that's why they didn't endorse her. And they tried to send a message, stop being so political. And then 70 days after she was sworn in, she runs for mayor. Now, what I'm going to do as a district attorney is, one of the other things that the police asked me is, are we going to see you every 4 years when you want an endorsement, or are you going to come back and see us in a year and ask us how we can improve and how you can improve? And I committed to that kind of communication and leadership. And so they want that committed leadership, and I'm going to give that to them, and I'm going to come back and speak to these different associations and have a conversation and communication and leadership. And that's what they want.
But let me ask you even a more pointed question, because it gets down to the man or the woman on the street who's serving our community. As part of law enforcement, I'm pretty familiar with a number of law enforcement agencies because, for example, one of my large charity events that we run at Thanksgiving every year, where we have 16,000 people out, you know, in the community through my foundation, we have obviously a lot of security there. And so I know a lot of folks, both in leadership as well as just, you know, boots on the ground. I know some of my friends and associates, for example, in police departments or in the Sheriff's Association, they sometimes feel unsupported when they have to go to court, for example, to testify. because they feel that they don't necessarily get any feedback or support about how they're doing, can they do better, how to improve upon things so that they can help make the community safer. What are you going to do for, just say, the average man or the woman, average man or woman who's out patrolling a neighborhood, driving a car, trying to keep the community safe?
Well, that's a great question. In preparation for this job, I have been riding with the police on ride-along 17 times with 12 different agencies. And I ask each one of the police officers I'm with, and I spend 4 or 5, 6 hours with them, I ask them, when was the last time you testified in court? What was the result of the case? And did you get any feedback on how you did? And in 16 of the 17 times, every single police officer said they never got any feedback on what happened to the case. They didn't know if the case was won or lost, and they had no critique of how they did. Now, that is going to change when I'm the district attorney. I am going to mandate to every deputy district attorney that you communicate with that police officer. You tell them what happened to the case. They had more invested in that case because they were on the street and made the arrest. Tell them what happened to the case and tell them how they did, because they want to get better. They want to testify. They want to learn how to do better. And you've got to give them that feedback. And that's how I'm going to help that police officer on the street. Because in riding along with these officers, and I have great respect for what they do, they have a very difficult job. And we are very lucky in this county to have the caliber of police officer that we have. And I've learned that from these 17 ride-alongs. But I've also learned that they truly crave feedback. And certainly when they go into the courtroom and leave, they deserve feedback.
Now, just for clarification, you mostly deal with the sheriffs, right? The county sheriffs?
Oh, no. Absolutely not. No, the district attorney is countywide.
Everybody, all law enforcement?
And all 22 of those agencies bring their cases to the district attorney.
SDPD, everybody, right?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Every single felony that's filed in the county of San Diego is filed by a deputy district attorney.
Gotcha.
And there were 16,700 filed last year.
Gotcha.
And that results in hundreds of contacts every day. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly not just sheriff. It's Carlsbad, Coronado, Chula Vista, Oceanside, all the different police departments in the county.
And Bob, how about officer safety? I know I've heard rumors about officers who've been injured on the job. That is to say, somebody's beat them up, broken an arm, whatever the case may be, and the offender typically, I don't want to say typically, but in many cases, isn't prosecuted. Is that true?
Yes, that is, unfortunately. And one of the things I'm going to do as district attorney is start a special unit called CAPO, or Crimes Against Peace Officers. And we are going to have dedicated, experienced deputy district attorneys who are going to make sure that our police officers are protected. And when they're assaulted and battered, we're going to make sure that those cases are filed and followed through on.
Gotcha. Do we have a high percentage being followed through on now or not? Do you know the number?
Hard to tell.
Hard to tell,
but I know from talking with the police officers that they write in their reports when they're hit, scratched, kicked, whatever, and very infrequently do they receive any feedback on that filing.
And have you been endorsed by any law enforcement agencies outside of San Diego County?
Yes, I have. I've been endorsed by LAPD, believe it or not. And the reason they did was because they remembered when I was a deputy district attorney up there. There are actually some gray hairs that remembered me from 30 years ago. And they wanted to help me. I've been endorsed by statewide organizations. I've been endorsed by PORAC, which stands for Police Officers Research Association, which represents 64,000 police officers across the whole state. I've been endorsed by the State Probation Officers Association. I've been endorsed by the Probation Officers Association here in the county. I've been endorsed by the California Highway Patrol. I've also been endorsed by the City Attorneys Association, and I've also been endorsed by 4 former United States attorneys in San Diego.
Now, the new police chief's a woman, and obviously there's been a little turmoil going on in the department, and I guess there's an ongoing audit. What's your take on that? You get along well with the new police chief?
Well, I've seen Chief Zimmerman on many occasions at many different functions, and she's a terrific lady, and I have great respect for her. I think we're very lucky to have her. She's incredibly hardworking, very dedicated, and I look forward to working with her.
Yeah.
And this audit, this federal audit that's going to be taking place, everybody seems to be in agreement that it's something that's needed, and it's going to be a good a review of what's going on in San Diego PD and what can be improved, if anything.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. You get a bad apple in every company, every entity. It's just the police, we hold them to such a high standard. And, you know, when you do get a Craig Pye or somebody doing something, criminal, it casts a negative light on everybody. And that's not true. You know, it's unfair because, all the police I run into, they seem they come into Lestat's all the time, and they're just thoroughly decent people doing a difficult job.
I couldn't agree more. The people I rode with, and then not only do you ride with them, but when you're at a stop and you see the other cars coming back up, and all of them are just incredibly dedicated, and there's a brotherhood within that within the various departments, and it's very impressive.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you so much.
Bob, thanks for coming in.
Yeah,
my pleasure.
Good luck in the campaign. Robert Brewer for DA.com. Thank him for being on. And we'd like to thank Stefan Airstall, CEO of Tower Paddleballs, for being with us tonight. Next week, it's Michael Stone, founder of La Jolla Map and Atlas Museum in La Jolla. And gosh, I wish you could say go Aztecs, but not this year. But Richard, good luck.
Baseball, go Aztecs.
Yes, and go Padres. And Richard, good luck in your race tomorrow, Carlsbad 5,000. And you have a good week. Justin Hart, thanks for making us sound good, our sound engineer. Thank you to Craig Blank, our con executive. And thank you to Dave Sniff, our programming genius at KFMB. Good night, everybody. You have a good week. We'll see you next week on It's Your Money and Your Life. Good night.